This is a Rabble Podcast Network show. New voices in your head. It's Radio Free Radio.
You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 100.5 FM.
BC has the highest poverty rate in Canada and has for the last 13 years. At this time of year, many of us are making donations to our local food banks, who are greatly in need of our charity. The BC Poverty Reduction Coalition is encouraging citizens to include a call for social justice with their food bank donations this holiday season. Joining me to talk about the coalition's Share the Weight with Us campaign is Gil Aguilar, Communications and Outreach Director for the BC Poverty Reduction Coalition. Good morning, Gil.
Hi, how are you?
Thanks for coming to the studio. What can you tell us about BC's current poverty rate?
Well, it's something shocking for people to hear, but BC has had the highest poverty rate in Canada for the last 13 years. It currently is 10.7%. That means over 400,000 people live in poverty in BC. And like I said, many people don't quite know this. After all, BC is one of the wealthiest provinces in the country. And we always hear how BC is great and how, for example, the provincial government has all these plans. Like currently we have a jobs plan that's supposed to get us all great and going. Unfortunately, many families primarily are having a hard time in BC.
Now, I understand, of course, there's a perception that that people who are poor don't work.
Yeah. Yeah, well, actually, at the BC Poverty Reduction Coalition, we're trying to make sure that everybody understands poverty a bit better. We try to offer resources and work closely with organizations that are dealing with these different issues. And we're trying to explain poverty in BC, it's a low-wage story. So poverty, most of the people who are living in poverty have a job. Many have a full-time job, and what happens is that they can't really get out of the cycle of poverty because they can't make enough on a minimum wage job. So the face of poverty in BC is not exactly what you expect. It's actually many people who are doing their best and they're working their hardest, but still they can't break that cycle, and primarily that would be because BC doesn't have the conditions for them to do that.
Now, I understand that BC is one of only two provinces in Canada without a poverty reduction plan. Why would it be important that we would develop a poverty reduction plan in BC?
Yeah, well, there's two or three main reasons. Like, the first one is that it's the right thing to do. Of course, in a wealthy province like this, in a province where we care for each other, we shouldn't have people living in poverty. It's just not fair. Beyond that, also, provinces that have developed strategies to tackle poverty have seen incredible results. And BC being one of the last ones, only BC and Saskatchewan are missing a poverty reduction plan, means that we are also bearing the burden or the cost of poverty as a society, because not doing anything also costs society. And at the BC Poverty Reduction Coalition, we work with the Canadian Centre for Policy Alternatives, and together we have created a report on the cost of poverty. And if, when you add it all up, poverty, like I said, looks like a family, sometimes with a single mother leading the family, having a very hard time even when working on a full-time job. So poverty looks like a family like this, and it's costing us because people in poverty are more likely to have health issues and therefore need more access to healthcare. Also, poverty is linked to higher crime rates, higher incarceration rates, and so on. So when you add it all up, the cost of society is $8 to $9 billion per year, whereas having a poverty reduction plan would actually cost the province around $3 to $4 billion, so less than half.
It's a kind of counterintuitive that actually not having a plan is more expensive than having a plan.
Yes, yeah. And that is primarily because having a plan means that you create the conditions for families and for people to bear the weight of their own conditions. For example, to have a job that is rewarding, and also for people who are not able to get a job to get one. And so the economic activity increases, and so their contribution also. And not to say that people in poverty right now don't contribute anything. Like I said, they are doing their best. It's just that the way our province is working, it's not allowing them to be as productive and as valuable members of our society as everybody else thinks. Right?
Well, I wanted the reason that we invited you here was to talk about the your campaign to make the food bank drive better. But before I actually ask you about the actual details of the campaign, just want to explore this idea about for the campaign, you talk about upstream action versus
yes.
downstream action. So tell me what that means.
Yeah, well, you probably have heard this story of there's different variations. We are working with the upstream notion, basically saying if you are by a river and you see all of a sudden you see a kid drowning, you jump in the river to help him, and then you see another one, and so you jump again, and then you see another one, and then you jump again, and all of until somebody actually stops and thinks and says, hey, like, who's chucking children in the river? So you go upstream, like, you gotta find out the root cause of this. So this is sort of like a play that we're doing. This time of year, people are very keen on helping, and there's also all kinds of organizations seeking support, which is very valuable, and I think it's very useful. But at the same time, we are forgetting to look upstream. We're not really looking why every year we have to do this, why every year we donate, we give to the food bank, or we give to the shelters, etc. And we're not tackling the root causes of that. So this is why we were thinking, okay, do that, and it's great. But also, let's also do something else. Let's also think upstream and do a food drive, food bank drive a bit better.
So tell us about your campaign. What does it involve?
Yeah, it's a small package that primarily it's targeted to children. We're working with schools because schools also have food bank drives, and we're trying to ask them, okay, do that, but also there's a little package with information about poverty and about justice. And also what we're trying to do is you can, in the package, we have a little paper can that you can color, and you can write a message to your MLA and then cut it, paste it, and make it into like a little paper can. And then you can deliver that to your MLA. The idea is that if you do a food bank drive where you sort of like stash a bunch of cans, maybe you can do a second one at the same time where you stash a bunch of paper cans with messages, and then you deliver them to your MLA to tell them that you want them to commit to a poverty reduction plan in BC.
So the campaign's directed primarily at children and teens. Why is it important to get students and youth involved, do you think?
Well, I think for two main reasons. Children and youth are already really engaged in many issues, and we're trying to work with them. Some of these initiatives come from our interaction with children and youth in schools. And the other is that we are teaching children through these activities at schools to be charitable and to care for others that are less fortunate than us. But are we also teaching them to be democratic members of our society and to be citizens? And I think this is sort of what we're trying to tackle is from very early on, it's important that we understand how we have power, how we are the drivers of our society, and the interaction with our representatives, in this case MLAs, needs to be very clear and very strong from the very beginning. And so it's kind of like that dual aspect of recognizing that youth and children are already really caring and really interested in issues like this, and also in trying to guide them a little bit, in thinking a bit in short term, but also in the long term, and also thinking about their society, about how to interact with it.
When you were working on the campaign, what was your thinking around the issue of charity? Because this is really trying to change the frame, or sort of to zoom out, and instead of mm-hmm. seeing, I'm giving somebody three cans of food so they can have a better Christmas, which is a good thing,
yep.
and you're zooming the frame to go, well, why do I have to? Why are we doing this?
Yes.
What's the bigger issue? What was your thinking around the idea of charity at Christmas and the idea of social justice?
Well, we think that charity, like we've been saying, is very valuable and it's important and it has a role. But yeah, we need to sort of broaden the scope of our participation in these issues. And charity, in some ways, is a very easy act and it's very self-gratifying. So I guess that's some of its power. But also, we have this notion of charity versus justice. How far does it go? And we think that charity is a short-term solution, whereas something like engaging in social justice will go a long way. So we try to talk to people about this because many times we hear, well, when you talk beyond charity, you're becoming too political. And we say, well, being charitable and not doing more, it's also very political because you are in some ways perpetuating what exists. So we're asking people to think a bit beyond that. And if they don't really like what they see, then there's many steps that they can take. And charity may be the first one, but then there's other steps to take. And hopefully through our kids and information, people can sort of start shifting their thinking a bit.
I kind of like how the activity sort of plays on that, like Christmas craft stuff you do too, like, yeah. Okay, now we're going to make up a can. And as you're doing that, you're actually thinking, what's the meaning behind like creating this can and then sending it to someone who has some power over changing those economic conditions. So it's quite a sweet connection. I admire it a lot. What other actions can people take to encourage the government to help bear the weight of poverty in the province and actually change the landscape so that we don't have poverty?
Yeah, we try to offer as many as easy and as hard options as possible for people because some people maybe are starting to think about this. On our website, bcpovertyreduction.ca, we have different sections and toolkits and resources. We launched a campaign about a month ago called Meet Your MLA. So we have a package of assisting you in how to go about it. Many people might feel intimidated going to the MLA office and talk to them. So we have a package that helps you through that. We have this Share the Weight package as well that you can download and use. And we have also a group called the Poverty Reduction Action Committee, which is an open space that meets once a month where people can come and we offer them resources and information and primarily the ability for people to do what they want to do with our support. So if they're thinking of doing a public event or organizing, I don't know, some campaign or activity, we help them with whatever ways we can. And also we have presentations from members from our Poverty Reduction Coalition, which include, it's a very broad coalition. So we have members from nonprofits, unions, religious organizations, grassroots organizations, and we have guests to talk about different aspects and to get informed and sort of get more firsthand information.
Great. Well, I really appreciate your joining me today, and I hope a lot of success to the campaign and to the broader goal of reducing poverty to zero in BC.
Thank you. We wish that very much.
I've been speaking with Gil Aguilar, who is Communications and Outreach Assistant for the BC Poverty Reduction Coalition. We've been speaking about how we can better our food bank donations and address poverty reduction in BC. If you want more information, you can see the toolkit on the coalition's website at bcpovertyreduction.ca.